In this economic world turned upside down, others hinted at the problem the United States might face in paying higher interest on mounting national debt. Amid 2002 to 2004 interest rates low enough to be negative after adjustment for inflation, the Treasury had refinanced so as to make most of its debt under 5 years in duration and cheap to carry. As a result, whereas Washington in 1997 had paid $356 billion worth of interest on $5.4 trillion worth of debt, by 2003, with rates at rock bottom, $318 billion sufficed to cover the interest on $6.8 trillion. However, should short-term rates reach the 4.5 to 5.5% range, almost double those of 2003, the interest payable on $8 trillion to $9 trillion of debt could rise to $400 to $500 billion, a major strain on the year-to-year U.S. budget. The Republicans in control of Congress and the White House, meanwhile, conducted both fiscal and energy policy in a state of denial. Denial, at least, of any potential crisis. The Bush administration energy legislation enacted in 2005 left the global energy markets sufficiently unimpressed that oil prices made new highs. Skeptics observed that the most important sections of the bill were those deleted at various stages, meaningful provisions requiring the government to find ways of reducing U.S. oil demand, automakers to improve fuel efficiency, and utilities to generate 10% of electricity from renewable energy sources. Powerful constituencies found such strictures unacceptable, although the federal government had raised the standards of energy efficiency for refrigerators, for example, 6 times since the 1970s, with enough success that comparable new units use only 1/4 as much electricity. Any remotely similar gain in automobile and truck efficiency would go a long way to ease oil import demands. Conservatives in the White House and Congress also continued to insist on making the 2001 to 2003 tax cuts permanent, despite unimpressive cost-benefit analyses. Over 75 years, as noted earlier, these changes were projected to cost $11 trillion, dwarfing the $4 trillion price tag of fully funding Social Security benefits. Furthermore, the tax reductions were skewed toward the upper income brackets in ways that lessened their stimulative effects. The lowered rates on capital gains and dividends, for example, were calculated to produce only 9 cents of stimulus for every dollar of foregone revenue, and the reduction of overall rates only 59 cents on a dollar. By contrast, the small amount of federal aid to state governments in the Bush package was rated at a more effective $1.24 of stimulus for every dollar. If U.S. excesses of debt and energy consumption remained on giddy and converging trajectories, the reactions overseas were wary. Among the oil producers, as we saw in Chapter 3, Iran, Indonesia, Malaysia, Venezuela, and others had moved earlier to reduce their use of dollars or to take other measures against U.S. financial domination of the oil markets. In 2005, Russia, Singapore, and Malaysia all announced small but significant shifts in their central bank reserves from dollars to euros. Even rumors or careless comments about possible currency diversification in the East Asian nations, which had made huge purchases of U.S. Treasury bills and notes, at least $399 billion in 2004, if not as much in 2005, produced moments of panic in the U.S. financial markets. One such episode in South Korea was described as follows. As the Korean comment ping-ponged around the world, all hell broke loose, with currency traders selling dollars for fear that the central banks of Japan and China, which hold immense dollar reserves, might follow suit. That would be the United States' worst economic nightmare. Economists in the United States worked up models and estimated the impact of various Chinese central bank actions, ranging from significant sales of the dollar to simply halving China's purchases of U.S. Treasury debt. The U.S. economy could be hurt by interest rates on bonds that were between 0.4 percentage point and 2 full percentage points higher than they otherwise would have been. As in so many critical arenas, the U.S. government had no clear strategy, save for allowing the dollar to weaken in 2003 to 2004 while professing to uphold its strength. In both oil consumption and currency management, the clock of American vulnerability was ticking.